Good morning. It's good to see everyone. If you would take your little blue hymnal and let's turn to page 271. The Christmas season is upon us. And of course, we're going to sing some Christmas songs or a verse of a Christmas song through the month of December. And the first one here is Joy to the World. And so let's all stand together and sing a verse, the first verse, page 271, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Brother Morgan, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. Thank you, Brother Morgan. Thank you. You can be seated. If you would, take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. You remember last week, Jesus had addressed the Pharisees. And of course, he's in his second year. He's about a year out from Calvary. And of course, Jesus had addressed the matter, the Pharisees demanded a sign. They wanted to see a sign. Jesus said, there's not going to be any more signs. He said, the only sign that I'm going to remind you of would be Jonah and the city of Nineveh. And of course, he said that there would be 3 days and three nights as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And of course, we know that that was a mention there of that sign because he wanted people to start listening or paying attention to what he's fixing to do in about a year. And that is to pay for our sin debt. And I'm so glad he did, aren't you? Now, looking here in our text this morning, we're going to look in chapter 13 and beginning in verse 1. Now, we all know, we've all read the parable of the sower. When did this take place? Do you remember? Well, verse 1 tells us it took place the same day. So when Jesus told them that there would be no further signs, later that same day, the Bible says this, beginning in verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. The multitudes were gathered together into him, so that he went into a ship, and he sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell on stony places where there wasn't much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness or deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, hearing, hear not, and neither do they understand. And to the reading of God's Word, we say. Now, as we think about these parables, first of all, what is a parable? Do you know what a parable is? It's an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. Okay, that's a parable. Jesus would often use, and we do the same thing, if we're trying to communicate something, we'll say, well, it's kind of like, okay? So we're using something everyone would understand. And so did they understand this? Yes, they did, because the people of that day, you have to understand, it was a very agricultural community. Everybody was involved in agriculture. Nobody worked in a factory. Nobody had factory jobs. Nobody had retail store jobs. If you had a store, you were in business for yourself. Okay, there wasn't any of the big franchise hospitals or not hospitals, marketplaces or anything like that. And so people did understand very much when you were using agriculture as kind of the preface. They looked at that and said, I get that. I understand what you're talking about. And so when we think about the gospel here, Jesus is speaking now to his disciples. And of course, the crowds are always going to be present. They're going to be seeing. They're going to be hearing. But unless they're coming to Christ in faith, they're not going to understand anything. Okay? Just like in John 6, you'll remember there was multitudes that followed Jesus. And Jesus said, you don't follow me because you're wanting to learn something and change your life. You're following me because you think, hey, there's going to be a free meal after this lecture. And you'll remember then the Bible says, Jesus said they went away. Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, are you guys going to go away too? In other words, he's wanting them to look at themselves and say, are you really listening to what I'm saying? Because if it's not of faith, then none of this will make sense. And sometimes you'll find in churches, there are people that will attend church and they'll be a part of a church until things happen. And then all of a sudden, they don't want to be a part of church anymore. All of a sudden, they just don't want to. In fact, they'll just quit. Why is that? It goes back to the parable of the sower. It's their response to the gospel. And we know there's four responses people take to hearing the gospel. Okay? Now, looking at this, the main character here in chapter 13 is the sower. A sower is someone who sows seed. Now, let me just say this. And I know we don't misunderstand this, but I don't want us to. You never save anybody. You've never saved anybody. You can't save anybody. You don't have it in you. The only thing you and I can do and are commanded to do is just share the gospel. So many times you'll hear Christians say, well, I'm trying to get these people to come to Christ. Well, keep trying because you're never going to succeed. You can't lead anybody to Christ. And when I say that, I mean in the context of saving them. You don't have the ability. And you'll hear Christians, well, I led these people to the Lord. No, you really didn't. The Holy Spirit's the one that saved them. You had nothing to do with it. The only part you had was this. Let me tell you about Jesus. And that's it. It's really a simple task, but we've made it very, very hard. So hard that you'll hear Christians say this, I don't have the gift of being a soul winner. That's actually a lie. That's actually a lie. Because everybody has that ability. All a soul winner is sharing the gospel with someone else. You don't convict them. And you can't save them. Jesus does. The Holy Spirit's the one that convicts. The Holy Spirit's the one that draws us. You and I don't do that. And when we do try to do that, and there are people that try to do that, what you end up doing is you give them a false hope, a false confidence that you see portrayed in these four types of soils. Only one soil is true soil, meaning where fruit is produced. Yes, they're all dirt, but there's only one that actually responds that God actually uses. The other three don't. Okay? Now let's look at them just for a little bit. The four types of soil. The first one you have is the wayside. The second is the stony ground. The third one's the thorny ground. The fourth one is the good soil. Now the wayside is where people walk. It's the roads. It's just like that drive. You're seeing now, we've been driving on it a couple of weeks, and you'll notice that they're starting to get some settling places in it, because now we've had a little bit of rain, a little moisture, and it was compacted very good and is, but even still, there's some settling taking place. Okay? That's hard dirt. That's going to be hard dirt. Why? Because we drive on it all the time. It's not going to be compacted like if you walk out around the back, and there's one spot back there in the back, Brother Mosley, where we put that pipe in there. Oh, you'll go in over your shoes. Why? It's very soft. It's not compacted. And so when we look at the wayside, it's very hard. And the Bible tells us that the wayside soil, when the gospel is sown, the birds come and eat it. Now, the birds are a picture of demonic, satanic influence, to where Satan comes by and snatches it. Okay? So we understand that kind of the connotation he uses about the birds, because it's spiritual activity that's taking place. When you hear the gospel, there are people who are hard-hearted. They're like the road. It's compacted. Well, I just don't believe everything I hear. Okay, then you're probably not going to believe the gospel either the first time you hear it. And so you say, can a hard, a wayward type person soil, could that person come to Christ? Yes, but it's going to be a very, very long, long road for them. George Barna did a study on the people coming to the gospel, and he said the average American today has to hear the gospel over 75 times before they understand they're a sinner and need to be saved. Did you know you're a sinner? Do you know what a sinner is? Yes. They'll sit there and say, uh-huh. And they'll just go on and on. And this is why you get questions like this. Am I going to go to hell because I have long hair? Am I going to go to hell because I do this or do that? Those things don't send you to hell. You do those things because of who and what you are. You're a sinner. Sinners, all sinners go to hell. Wow. God said in Ezekiel 18, the soul that sins, let it die. In other words, I don't want it. Wow. Now, the wayward soil is very hard. They are the ones who are roll their eyes at you when you try to present the gospel to them. They're the ones that may get vocal with you when you present the gospel to them. Okay? We see the next one. We'll talk about these a little bit more. But the Bible says the wayside, they're hard-hearted, and the gospel is devoured by the birds. In other words, the demons, the devil comes along and snatches those things away. They're truths because they don't want them thinking about it. They don't want it chewing on it. Because Paul said in Romans 14, let a man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What we have to do in presenting the gospel, regardless of the type of soil we are dealing with, is we have to be long-suffering and patient. What's one of the things we sometimes struggle with? Well, hurry up and get saved. When people visit our church and seek God's will about becoming a member, we don't pressure them. We pray for them. God, you show them your will for their lives. If they are to be a part of this local ecclesia, we welcome them. If God doesn't want them here, we don't want them here. Because we'll make them as miserable as they'll make us. So we want only God's will. We see what the scripture says in Acts. The Lord adds to the church. Where we get in trouble sometimes is we try to add to the church. And we're not God. Does that make sense? Now, let's look on. That's the wayward. Let's go a little further. The stony ground, it has no depth. The person that has this type of soiled heart it receives moisture. It has a little moisture. It's not hard-hearted like the wayward soil. But the gospel will find a crevice or a crack in that person's life. It will fall into it, and it will germinate. But when the real challenges of the Christian life come, and if you've been saved for any length of time, there will be challenges and times of heat, drought, that will come into your life. And usually that's when they quit. Okay? Because there's no depth. They're looking for moisture, they're not finding it. And they'll make statements like this: I'm just not getting anything from the service anymore. That's shallowness. Okay? Because you're saying now the Bible is no longer the living water. It's no longer your source of drawing something out or application to your life. And so, again, stony ground. It scorches. When the heat comes, it begins to wilt. It has no depth to it. There's a third type of soil, and that's the thorns. Again, it has enough moisture that it will sprout, it will germinate, it will grow, but it doesn't grow to the point of where it can produce and bear fruit. And the reason is, it's choked by the thorns. In other words, the choking comes from things in their life they're not willing to give up. I know I shouldn't do that, but I don't care. I'm going to do what I want anyhow. I'll still be in church. I'll still read my Bible. But I'm not going to do that because I don't want to. And you can't tell me what to do. So we go on doing it. In other words, that person is greatly hindered and restricted because they're unwilling to remove things in their lives that God says that needs to go. Oh, no. If I'm going to come to church, if I'm going to believe in you, you're going to have to tolerate this. It's just who I am. Now, you understand, as a sinner, aren't you glad God accepts us just as we are? When He saved you, you didn't change anything. When you got saved, He accepted you as you were, filthy rags and all. A sinner up to here in sin. And aren't you glad He accepted you? But He loves you too much to leave you there. the Bible tells us in Ephesians, we've talked about before, as a Christian, there is that putting off and there is that putting on. And there is going to be changes taking place in your life. And God's going to say, that needs to go. Well, I've done that all my life. I know that, but that needs to go. And as you grow in your walk with Christ, you'll surrender that, say, you know what, Jesus, you're right. That needs to go. But if you're not growing in Christ, no, I told you this is who I am, deal with it. You understand, God doesn't deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, He won't. What's that mean for you? Saved? Yes. Growing? No. And how will that affect you down the road during the judgment seat of Christ? You'll come up short, no rewards. Salvation? Yes. Rewards? No. Well, I don't think that's fair. Sure it is. It's your choice. It's your choice. So, again, this doesn't just apply. Now, there are people that will apply this to the four stages of a Christian life, and I don't think they're out of context. But on the other hand, there is, I think, a greater lesson in showing us that when you're dealing with people, sharing the gospel, and that's the context of the text, is there are going to be four different types of people you're going to deal with. And the thorny soil will receive it, much like the stony soil will receive it. They'll start growing, then they'll just get stunted and they'll never do anything else. They'll never grow anymore. Well, I used to do that, but I don't go beyond that. That's all I've done. I'm not doing anymore. And the reason is they can't grow. They can't produce because there's things in their life they won't deal with. And they and God know what those things are. But they're not willing to make the change. So while they'll never lose their salvation, they'll never produce what God would have intended for them to produce. Last type of soil. We see it's the good soil. This is the one that produces 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Okay. Now, when we think about this, look down to verse 18. In this passage, Jesus begins to expound on it, giving us more understanding of what he's talking about. And he says in verse 18, he said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside." I don't know. Do you think that's true? You know, preacher preached the other day. Do you think? Well, I don't know. I can't remember now. It doesn't matter. Do you know why they're saying that? Because Satan snatched that thought away. Nothing's taking place. Jesus goes on to tell us, he says, "But he that received the seed in stony ground," notice, "is he that hears the word and anon with joy receive." Hey, that's great. Yeah, I know. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And they receive it. And notice Jesus said, "Yet hath he no root in himself." And this is the person that's always seeking assurance. This is the one that can't make decisions or doesn't make decisions. Okay? They're always looking for a census. They're always looking for a survey. They're always looking for approval. And the reason is they have no depth. Because when it gets tough, well, I think God's leading. No, it's not God leading you. It's you not growing. Okay? And so notice, Jesus said, he has no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution comes, because of the word, by and by, he's offended. He's offended. Can you think of something that we've experienced in the last 100 years that would be something that would be like this, where people have had a difficulty come upon them and they've complied to protect themselves from persecution? Can you think of anything? Does anything come to mind? The Holocaust? How so?
Well, people didn't want to get in trouble, so they would get rid of the Jews, right? Something like that. They might even turn against them, not really feeling that with themselves, but they don't want to get in trouble with everybody else.
Okay. Don't want to make waves? Okay.
Modern day, the Palestinians in Gaza.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do churches ever do that? Do Christians do that? Can you think of anything else a little more recent even? Huh? COVID? How so, Tim?
If you didn't want to take the shot, they were after you.
Yeah. Do as you are instructed. Okay. Yeah, we could only, they put restrictions. Of course, I'm thankful Oklahoma, we fixed that because we made it law churches can no longer be closed. But we had that period of time during COVID where we weren't closed, but we were not allowed to have more than 10 people at a time. I remember the mayor, he called me one time. He said, "You're not closing?" I said, "No." And we would have, and I remember a couple of services, Lisa sat in your chair, Keith. And we were broadcasting with the camera, and she was sitting right here. She said, "I'm going to sit in Brother Pease's chair." Because we had just, there was 10 of us, and you're like, "Oh, that's crazy." And, of course, Governor Stent, they brought some legislation. He said, "You bring it, I'll sign it." He did. And now that's not a problem. Now, will that create a problem if we had something like that come again? I would dare say, and I hope it would never be at BBC, but there probably will be some, if that was to ever happen again, there would probably be some Christians in some churches that would say, "Oh no, I'm not going to church because they said we can't." Did you know there are some that still haven't come back to church because of COVID 3 years ago? Some have shared with me they have no intention coming back because they don't want to get sick. They told me that while they were standing in an aisle at Walmart. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Beloved, let me say this. It tells me something. What kind of soil we have in here. And that's okay. Do I agree with it? Not remotely. But they're just telling me what kind of soul they have. Okay? Jesus goes on. He says in verse 22, "He also receives the seed among the thorns. Here's the word of God. The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." And of course, you know, we've talked a little bit about that, but there's things in their life. You know, it's, if you said, is it, and let me just ask you a question. Think about this before you give me an answer. Which is most important to you? Having an opportunity to worship God or making money? Now think of that over the spectrum of your life. Which will benefit you the most? Now I'm looking for answers. Anybody? Worshiping God? What do you think, Brother Randy? Miss Gloria? Go ahead, brother. You started to say something? Do you believe that? I do too. Yeah. From experience, yeah. Brother Wayne, what do you think? Yeah. Brother Willie, what do you think? Yeah, absolutely. He's the consistent denominator all through our lives. Have you noticed that? Who's the one who's always there? Have you ever encountered in your life, you say, well, I you know, you got to have the money to live, preacher. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. We all have bills and we all like to eat, right? And that takes money. I'm sorry? Yeah, he does. He does. But have you noticed how that over time, you know, and you've met people and I have too, they've given 10, 20, 30 years of their life to an establishment, and then they got a peak slip in their paycheck. Have you ever heard about that? Some have probably received one of those. And you're like, well, I thought that would always be stable. The only thing that is stable in this life is who? God's the only one. God's the only one. Notice verse 23. Then Jesus expounds a little more and he says, he that received the seed in the good ground is he that, notice, hears the word, understands it, and then bears fruit. That's a little different than everybody else before. Did you notice that? Because they all heard. And some of them may have had some understanding, but it wasn't enough understanding to where it brought real change in their life. But the person that has the good soiled life, they hear it and say, okay, you're not talking to them, God, you're talking to me. I need to deal with that. And notice the Bible says, which also bears fruit and brings forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and then 30. Now let's look over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus here is teaching that he is the vine and this relationship. Again, we're just the sowers. We just tell people, hey, listen, Jesus will change your life. So, should we allow the things of this world, the cares of this world, the fears of this world, should they take more precedence over our life than God? But some let them. Some fear this world and the things of this world more than they fear God. Notice Jesus says here in John 15, I'm the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. What's a husbandman? A gardener. Just modern term, a gardener. Okay, farmer. And notice the Bible says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. You see, those branches that don't bear fruit, they might be sprouting. but they have no depth. Pruning shears, and he cuts them away. Notice he goes on. He purges it. Why does he do that? That those who do hear and who do understand and want to bear fruit can. He goes on. He says in verse 3, Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Well, that ought to make every Christian shout, amen. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. In other words, this growth even doesn't have anything to do with you and I. We just are sowers and we tell and present the gospel and share it with people. That's all we do. We don't save anybody. But when we do have that relationship with Christ, now we want to grow. So we hear, we understand, and say, Lord, what is it in my life that needs to go? And he said in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches, abide in me, and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. Then he says this, for without me, what can you do? He said, for without me, you can do nothing. Oh, we got exciting things going on at our church. We're making this happen, and we're doing this, and we're making this. And no, you're not. If you are, it won't last. But if Jesus is doing it, that'll continue to flourish. Notice he goes on. He said, if a man abides not in me, verse 6, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Then he says, continue in my love. Why did he say that? Do you remember what he said in chapter 14 and verse 15? Notice what he says there. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's put that in a little more modern language for you and I. If you love me, do what I've asked of you. Well, I don't want to. I like what I'm doing. I don't want to do that. What am I revealing? My love for Christ isn't what it ought to be. It's not what it ought to be. Well, I haven't calculated. I haven't analyzed. I haven't researched. I just haven't decided for sure. Why don't we just say what it really is? I just don't love Jesus as much as he loves me. Okay, thank you, because that will help us understand why we hit those snags in our life called stunted growth. Okay. Notice Jesus said in verse 10, he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken unto you. Why did you tell us this, Jesus? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I'm glad he told us that. We have to remember with folks that as we have a duty of just sharing the gospel, sowing the seed, people are going to be one of these four types of soil. Mark goes into a little more detail. We won't take the time to read it this morning, but it's the same thing. He breaks down the four different types of soils in Mark chapter 4. And of course, what Mark tells us is, he says that the produce, or what brings about production, is not us, but it's the earth. In other words, God's the one that works through His creation, through circumstances, through events in people's lives. God is providential, and He can work through any and everyone. He's sovereign, yes. And so he can literally just work through all these different events in our lives to bring you and I where He wants us to be. And the end result is growth. Now let's go to one more example. For sake of time, we need to hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Corinthian church was a gifted church. In fact, Paul tells us that this church, they lacked nothing. They had all the gifts the Spirit provided. Everyone was gifted. It was a very, very well gifted church. Okay? And so Paul here, in speaking in verse 4, he addresses a problem. And one of the problems they had, notice if you will, he said in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "For while one says, 'Well, I'm of Paul,' another says, 'Well, I'm of Apollos.'" And Paul says, "You know what your problem is? You're carnal. You're carnal." Notice he says, "Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." Paul said, "I have planted, Apollos watered. But how did growth come?" Oh, Paul's ministry was so much deeper than Apollos. No, that's your perception, but you're revealing the type of soil you are. He goes on, he said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but who caused the growth?" Who always causes growth? It's not me and you. And you'll hear people say, "Oh, this ministry or that ministry, you know." God just uses people, and aren't we thankful for that? And He uses people to produce what He desires in their lives, to help us to grow. Now notice he goes on. He said, "So then neither is he planteth anything, neither he that waters, but it's God that gives the increase." Verse 7. He said in verse 8, "Now he that plants and he that waters are one." In other words, we're all doing the same work. And he says, "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." And why is that, Paul? He said, "Because we are laborers together with God." We're all part of God's husbandry. We're all part of His garden. And so when we look at that, Paul here in his teaching, he was showing the Corinthian church there are no rivals. There are those who are being used of God, they're teaching truth, and not everybody's going to receive truth. Some people are going to resist the truth. And how do they do that? Some have hard hearts. Some, they'll say, "Woo, yeah, this is great," but they have no depth. And they're never going to grow because, well, they just don't want to. Thirdly, you have then those that are in the thorny ground that are growth, but they're very restricted because there's things in their life they're not going to give up. And it keeps them from being everything they could be because they love the things of this world more than they do God. They don't understand that common denominator. Which do you love more? Which has done more for you? Putting your trust in God all through life, or the money and the jobs and the careers that we have until they lay you off or the factory closes? But who's always there? God is. He's always there. That growth comes from Him. So our job, our task, is to proclaim the gospel. We pray that as the gospel goes forth, you'll find that those who hear it, whether they're wayward, whether they're stony ground, whether they're thorny ground, and even good soil, that they all might be saved. But that's not God saying he may or may not save them. That's us saying, how am I going to respond to what I'm hearing? The person with the good soul says, I understand, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And Lord, I want to make the change. And they do. The thorny growth Christian can look at that as well as a person there and say, I've heard the gospel, I know I'm saved, but there's some things in my life that really need to go. Again, this can apply to Christians as well as non-believers. Our point is to make sure the gospel's going out. Okay? Jesus taught the crowds truths, and they had troubles accepting it, believing it. And the religious community didn't like it at all. Okay? But others began to listen and say, you know, okay, I see something. Others said, no, that's just his opinion. And Jesus said, you're not going to change the opinions of people. God says, I'll do that. And that's through conviction of the Holy Spirit. But even then, God doesn't override their will, does he? If you and I choose to disobey God, have you noticed he allows us to do that? Well, I'm not going to do that. And we don't. And we're still alive to tell it. I'm glad God's gracious and merciful. But we do understand over time, he told us back in Genesis 6, his spirit would not always strive with man. Eventually, he says, okay, that's enough. And he's done. And when God says he's done, you understand we're done. Any questions? We better stop. Okay? All right, well, we'll stop there, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, so thankful, Lord, for you, for the work that you're doing in our lives. We pray, Father, that we might understand the characteristic of a sower is to share and keep the gospel moving, Father. And Lord, those that we come in contact with, may we be ever mindful of the four types of hearers. And Lord, the wayward, the stony, the thorny ground, and even the good soil. Lord, help us to always present the gospel, keeping it out there. And Lord, we ask that you would continue speaking to hearts and convicting as you have. Thank you for touching our hearts. Have your will and way as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.